Ramsey TV.
Okay, stop the music, please. Stop the music. Yeah, I'm just going to get right to this. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 first, but this is so important. This is so needed for you to hear this because of all the pain out there, of all the unrequited love you've experienced from your family, from your friends, from your, quote, lovers, unquote. I need to talk to you about this. It's like a 911 call here. I'm going to tell you what to do when affection fails. Agape love, been talking about it, the love of God. It's also a love that we can do, which is hard to believe, but the same love God has, we can do. And it's such a luxurious opportunity to finally do something that can't be refused. To do something that can't be refused. Because so many people refuse you, so many people don't want you. And rather than seeing agape love as a challenge from God, like, oh no, I have to do this agape love. Oh, the love of God, how can I do this? No, I want you to see it as one of the rarest gifts ever bestowed upon us by our Creator. A gift that cannot be touched, tainted, or taken away. Rust can't tarnish it. Moths can't eat it. Because agape love proceeds from us toward others via God. It's like a mountain stream that's just running downhill. Nothing can stop it. It's a torrent. Now, unrequited love is one of the most painful things, but this fixes it. This combats it. I'm going to tell you about love that's offensive, that takes the offensive, a love that is aggressive. It works from afar. You don't practice it near someone because the people you want to practice it toward, either your enemies or those you love who don't love you, you're not going to be near them. But you can send this near them, to them. Nothing gets in its way. Agape love. I want you to see it as a gift. After today, you're going to see agape love as a gift. Like, thank God for this. For me, the most painful experiences in my life have to do with people I wanted to see or be with or bless or talk to or reach. But these people who for some reason cut themselves off from me. I have people to whom I have brought the evangel and they have put me out of their lives for various reasons that reflect upon them. They have a problem, some kind of emotional problem, some kind of hang-up. You know people like this, and they punish you for it because that's the way they think they can get to you because it's projection, it's deflection. They shun you. This is one of the most dastardly things people can do to you. It's an Amish trick, shun. People think it's a power. Oh, we're going to shun that guy. We're gonna push him from our fellowship. We're going to not talk to him again. That'll teach him. Oh, yeah? Well, you got something to teach them. You got something to teach them. They think that's the move that's going to destroy you. No, this is the move that's going to destroy them. And you love them with agape love because they can't deny it. That's what's so beautiful about it. So I'm using my own experiences here. I have experiences, like I said. It's just unbelievable. Some of the people that have done things to me that is just absolutely unbelievable. And the most hurtful things, but again, I conquer it with the greatest gift God ever gave me. It's agape love. It's love that cannot be denied. Like, take that. That's what agape love is. I want you to see it as this. Take that. It's not a pity party for me or you. I'm giving you a weapon. Because agape love is a ready escape from the frustration of unrequited affection. You've heard the saying, if you can't beat them, join them. How about this? If you aren't allowed to like them, then love them to death. Love them to death. Now, I'm going to tap into a common human emotion that when people hurt you, you want to get revenge. Okay? You want to get back at them. This is how you do it. This is the purest way. This is the best way. And it is a relief. And it does actually feel like you've gotten revenge on him. It's a human emotion. Don't deny it, okay? We all have it. So I wrote about this years ago, and I actually had this name for it. I mean, I don't feel like being funny or cute with you today at all, but I named this thing the Martin Zender Refused Affection Revenge Tactic. That's the Martin Zender Refused Affection Revenge Tactic. I want you to use this. I've patented it, but that's okay. I want you to use it. It's free to use. Okay? You just can't, like, take that name and, like, sell it. Take your anger, take your pain, take your aggression, and channel it into what? Agape love. Now, I know how unusual it is to see the words anger, pain, aggression, love in the same sentence as agape love. But I'm bringing you face to face with a big time revelation. This is a big time revelation. I never realized this. As I said, I used to think of agape love as, oh my God, what? I have to love like God does? But now it's like, yes, I have this. I can do it. And I can just, like, take that. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by take that. Because we have phrases in our language already that describe this kind of thing. And here are the phrases. This is a scriptural principle, but we have common phrases in the English language that we use. The first one is kill them with kindness. You've heard that, right? Kill them with kindness. That's a scriptural concept. I'm going to read the verse to you. In other words, when somebody's so mean to you, you are so nice to them in return that it messes them up. It throws them for a loop. It takes them off the track. They don't know what to do with it. They're like, what? They expect you to hit them back. They expect you to return the fire in kind, but instead, you say something crazy good to them, crazy loving. You meet their crap. You meet their smelly shit with roses. They know what to do. It messes them up. It messes with their heads. That's what I mean by the revenge tactic. You're killing them. Isn't that nice? You do want to K-I-L-L them, but you do it this way, with kindness. Here's another phrase, you're familiar with it, love them to death. Love them to death. These violent words, right? Kill and death, but I am now relating it. I'm now giving it to you with agape love. This is a revelation, I'm telling you. This is unbelievable. You can do this. It will change you. When you do this towards your enemies, towards people who you want to reach them, but you can't, but you can send them. You remember that song, Radar Love? We've got a line in the sky, don't need a letter at all. We got a thing that's called Radar Love. It's like this thing, this communication that travels not even through the air, but by spirit. And your love, the love is of God, is so powerful, and you have it in you. If you have the spirit of God in you at all, and you do, you have big time, you send this love to the other person. And it wrecks them first, and it blesses them secondly. Because you still love these people. You have to remember that. But now I'm telling you that love is not this vague thing. It's something you can do, and it's an offensive weapon. This is a potent cocktail. You combine human emotion and godly regard. The human emotion is to kill them with kindness, love them to death. You combine that emotion with godly regard, because deep down we have the Spirit of God in us. We want things to go well for other people, even our worst enemies. You want things to go well for them. I mean, there's a part of you that doesn't. I know. There's a part of you that hopes they just hope their life's ruined after they threw me out of their life. I hope they, you know, fall in a hole and die. No. That's okay. If that's in you, that's fine. Remember, you don't panic about things like that. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross, for emotions like that. Take your emotions, take your frustration, take your pain, and load it into the cannon. That's what this is, a frickin' bazooka, a shoulder-launched bazooka. Load it in and fire it. You're going to feel good, and it's going to feel better than actually killing someone. That's not good. You're going to go to jail. Jail food is very bad. You know, people visit you through the glass. Just don't do it. No, just love them. This counts big with God, and it's going to change them, and it's going to change you. Where do I get this idea? It's not an idea. No, don't say that. Why did you say that? No, it's not an idea. This is a scriptural fact, and it comes from Paul. Yeah, do you believe it? Here it comes. Wait for it. Romans 12, verses 20 through 21. If your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel. Your enemy. If your enemy should be hungering, not your friend, not your lover, not your girlfriend, not the little librarian down the road who loves to see you come in because you're such a great conversationalist. No. These are your enemies. If your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel. If he should be thirsting, give him to drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping embers of fire on his head. That's what I mean. This is killing him. You're like burning their conscience. This is a metaphor, heaping embers of fire on their head. It's a metaphor for wrecking them. The head, the thinking. They're going to go, what? They're not used to this. It's going to take them aback. They're going to stop and they're going to go, what the hell is that? I expected to be hated by this person, and they're giving me the morsel. They're giving me to drink. Then Paul says, be not conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And agape love is the best good you can do. Now, this passage is tweaked by the divine touch, of course, but aggression flows throughout this passage. Paul's speaking here of an aggressive love. That's why it feels so good to do it. It's aggressive. And the great thing is this, they can try to hide from you. They can go in a corner. They can try to run to a different part of the world, but they cannot escape. This is agape love, bitch. You're going to get it whether you like it or not. You see? You following me? This is agape love. This is the good stuff. This is powerful. It doesn't know time zones. It doesn't know international borders. Doesn't know hemispheres. This shit works. Okay? It does. Paul speaks of an aggressive love that conquers. It's an exercise of good that combusts on another person's scalp. What does he say? You'll be heaping embers of fire on his or her head. That's important. You have to add her there. Because you give your affection to someone, and that affection is rebuffed. And now the affection, i.e. philia, remember that Greek word philia? Philia now puts all, listen to this, philia, affection based on another person's worthiness. You find out the other person's not worthy at all, not worthy of your love. The other person stinks. They can't receive it for some reason. Philia now puts all of its primitive energy into a space-age new weapon. And that weapon is agape. Philia ups the game. Yeah. Philia says, okay, you don't like me? I got something for you. It's agape. The love of God. You have it. This is more powerful than an atom bomb. Atom bombs are messy. There might be some collateral damage. Do not detonate an atom bomb on your enemy's head. This is more effective. So this boiling pot of frustration that you have in your situation for your family or whatever, it remakes itself into the beneficent purpose of agape love via a divinely instituted channel. The divinely instituted channel is agape love. Ah. Now, I told you that this came in, and this is part of us. It's part of being made in the image of God. Okay, God invented it. Not only for the, here's the revelation. God invented agape love, not only for the benefit of the receivers, but for those who dispense it. This is what I never saw. Because, you know, you think, oh, it's agape love, it's going to exhaust me. My God. No, it's going to invigorate you. Because here is something that you can do. The dispensers need this as much as the receivers, because the dispensers, they're all dressed up. They're all dressed up with affection. They're all dressed up with filio, but they got no place to go. Because the person you want to bless somehow is screwed up in the head. They don't want it. Well, they're not going to be able to resist it. For the frustrated filial person, allow me to introduce you to Agape Love. Load the cannon with Agape Love. It's freaking fantastic. I want you to think of Agape Love as a destroying torrent. I like the cannon metaphor. I'm fond of it. I like it. I have filio toward the cannon metaphor, the shoulder-launched bazooka, but I think a torrent is good because it covers. The rush eventually breaks down all resistance. I mean, you know it's going to work because nothing goes forth that is of God that returns to him void, nothing. So your affection snubbed, this is what it says. If filio could talk, it would say this. Oh, yeah? You think you can refuse me? Well, I will see your refusal of filio and I'll raise you agape. This is what happened with God and Saul / Paul on the road to Damascus. Think about it. God tried to be nice to Saul his whole life. He gives him an enviable nationality, great parents, best schools, sweet job, the admiration of the entire religious society, and it didn't work. The guy turned into a lunatic. So God said, okay, all right. I did sweet stuff for the guy. Great parents, best schools, enviable nationality, sweet job. God says, okay, it's time to love the guy to death. Time to love the guy to death. Filio ups its game and says, it's time for agape. Agape went forth on that day that lunatic killer, idiot, was on his way to Damascus, and it broke the man down in the middle of the road. We think that he was blinded by the noonday sun, and he was, but something else happened. It was agape love. That's how powerful it was. And you see what Paul says in Romans 12, you'll be heaping coal embers of fire upon his head. That's what he experienced on the road to Damascus. That is exactly what he experienced. He's talking from experience in Romans 12. Not only was the guy blinded, his eyes didn't work. So what? That's nothing. His entire being was changed. When agape love detonated over his head and a lava flow of love came out. It should have been a lava flow of lava. Should have been freaking liquid hot magma. But it was agape love. But it's killing love. And it killed the old Saul. Come to think of it, it also killed the old humanity. Because the love of Christ on the cross killed the old humanity. I told you it was a killing power. Here's the new man's testimony. The new guy. On the other side of this liquid hot magma of agape love. Here's what he says. 1 Timothy 1:14. Yet the grace of our Lord overwhelms with faith and love agape in Christ Jesus. What's the best method for delivering it? Many times you can't just show up at someone's door. In fact, that's out of the question. They won't answer. If you email somebody with agape, they may simply refuse to double click. One click on a Mac. They won't do it because they don't want you anymore. So again, the revenge is you love the daylights out of the person when they're not around. You don't need them to be around. You send your love of this person to God consciously on that person's behalf. Here's an example. I wrote this example down. You can use this prayer. Think of your own. Just make it real. Lord, please deliver agape to so-and-so in one form or another. Enlighten them, make something good happen for them, bring them some relief. Ooh, shit, man, that's good. Let me repeat that. Lord, please deliver agape to so-and-so in one form or another. Enlighten them, make something good happen for them, bring them some relief. You may never get credit for this miracle until, oh, you will get credit, but you might not get it until the great heavenly requital session opens shop and God exposes the intentions of the heart and the distensions of the bowels. The people you're sending it to have distension of the bowels. You have the intention of the heart. In the meantime, don't worry about it. You know the truth. and God knows the truth. The person you're sending it to might not know the truth. They probably don't. But that's okay. You become a fellow laborer with God in the dispensing of the most powerful force on the earth. Let it do its work. It'll do its work on them, and it'll do its work on you. This is my personal testimony. The best time for me to dispense this love is at night when I'm laying in my bed. I can't seem to do it really well any other time. I'm too riled up. I'm too agitated. The pressures and the hassles of the day. And I'm not really apt to do something so great and so noble and so powerful. So I wait until the lights are out. I get in that bed right over there. And I think about my enemies. And I think about the people who hate me. And I ask God to somehow show his love to them. And so my love first goes to God, and then he delivers it. He delivers it. It's better than Amazon.com. Because God will know who it's going to because you told him. Not that you have to, but he likes to hear it. Tell him out loud. God hears this kind of thing every time. Isn't that great that the creator of the universe hears what you're saying? And that's a joy for me. I mean, this is the deepest prayer anybody can pray. My God, love your enemies. That's amazing. And you're specifically telling God to do specific things, nice things, good things for this evil person. But you're loving the crap out of them. You have to think of this as aggressive because this is going to satisfy some revenge thing in you. Okay, you have it in you. I know you do. I do. This is revenge. This is revenge. It's going to knock them off their game. They're going to be so fucked up after this happens. And you just go, yeah, well, they're going to get fucked up by love. They're going to get so fucked up by this. And you take delight in that. You take pleasure in that. Go back to Paul, Romans 12. Heap burning coals of fire on their head. Oh, God, yeah. We're not into eternal torment. No. But we're into heaping burning coals of fire upon somebody's head. How do you do that? You love them in the face of their wickedness. As soon as I do this, I am delivered of anger, pain, angst, frustration. Because why? Because three words. God's on it. God's on it. This love cannot be refused. The person might not even know what the hell's happening to them. It'll come out. Don't worry. When good things happen, because it'll come out. It'll come out at the great white throne or at the dais, wherever these people show up. And they'll know it came from you. In other words, you're going to get credit for this. You are going to get credit for this. I know God did the work in you. I know that. But you still get credit. We all will receive applause from God at the dais of God. I didn't invent that. The timing is up to him when the river hits, when the atom bomb explodes over their head, when it destroys the intended target. That's what you're doing. You're destroying the intended target. Feels good. Nothing will destroy them faster than loving them. It'll drive them freaking nuts. Drive them insane. They won't know what's happening. Ha ha. Ooh, I loved it. This is the best medicine available. And afterwards, you sleep like a baby. Look at Jesus. I'll give you the example of Jesus. Then I'll stop. I gotta go. Jesus strained to show affection, filio, to his people. Israel. Most of them refused his filio. We don't want your filio. What a bunch of morons. The worst unlovable, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people on the planet. So instead of going into his cave to sulk, yes, there were caves in Israel. Instead of Christ going into a cave to sulk, what does he do? He goes to the cross. He goes to the cross. Take that. You can either go into a cave and sulk. You can go in your room, you can go in bed and never get up, and you can just be punching the air and wearing yourself out, or you can send agape love. Jesus either goes to his cave and sulks over Israel, or he goes to the cross. Wow, talk about upping the game, huh? How's that for upping the game? He took the energy and passion created by the refusal of filio, and that hurts. So the angst and the passion and the frustration, like, oh, well, you hear him cry. You know, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who still stones the prophets and kills all those sent her. And how much I long to gather you as a mother hen gathers her brood, and you would not. So he has all this anger. Righteous anger. So he takes the energy and the passion created by the refusal of filio, of affection, and he raises it to agape. And he wins the day. Everybody who comes to Christ usually comes crying and weeping at his feet. Just like Saul on the road to Damascus. You're undone. You're destroyed. You're wrecked. Yeah, kill him with kindness. Kill him with kindness. Love him to death. So it's like Jesus is saying, you refuse to acknowledge and return my kindness. Very well. Take this. And out came a love attack of unparalleled construct, talking about the crucifixion. Who could refuse the cross? Nobody can. Oh, they think they can now. I don't want the cross. Huh. It's coming. It's coming. You're going to be wrecked. It eventually kills everyone, i.e. saves them. Yeah, that's what it does. Against their stupid wills. Saves them with what? With kindness. Jesus Christ mounted Calvary with no expectation of immediate return. You might not get immediate return, but it's being noted. Oh my God, it's being noted. The celestials are in attendance. Whenever you go to your bed and pray for your enemies, the celestial, some angel calls another angel, come over here, we got one. What? They know damn well what's happening. Somebody's praying for his enemies. This is so rare. They all come around to see it. They're gathering around. You think you're alone in your bedroom. Nah. This is big. This is headline news. In realms celestial, they're all coming around to check it out. They never see anything like it. So, Jesus Christ mounts the cross, no expectation of immediate return. He did it because he loved his people, Israel. And he loved the whole world, not just Israel, but the whole world. This is not passive love. Are you kidding? This is aggressive. Going to the cross? This is aggressive as hell. But Jesus didn't just go to the cross. Let's use some active verbs here. He strode. He stood. He bent. He knelt. He prayed. He limped. He cried. He died. This isn't passive love. This is something you do. I've told you from the beginning of this thing on love. It's something you do. All of our Lord's earthly frustrations got poured into the wood of that cross right along with his blood. He would not be denied, and he won't be. And neither will you be denied. Send your agape love, the love of God, out to your enemies, and it will not return to you void.